Hi there.
It's the Big Interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Go big or go.
Talking.
Yes, we are. And we're talking now in the big interview today with Ron Sanchez, Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. If you are not familiar with them and you want to get more familiar, go to fiduciarytrust.com. Ron Sanchez, welcome back to Money Life.
Well, thanks for having me, Chuck.
Good to talk with you. And we are at, I don't want to say interesting times. I don't want to say crossroads. I'm not sure how to label this, right? We're at a time where the Dow has just broken through 22,000, although it didn't shatter it, as some people said. It kind of nursed its way through it. But the S&P and the NASDAQ and the Russell 1000 and the Russell 2000 have all been at, all are at or near record highs. The market has seemed indestructible. Even after bad news on some of the FANG stocks, Apple came in and kind of rescued it. And you've got a number of people kind of saying, hey, this can't go on forever. And yet it does seem to keep going on indefinitely, doesn't it? So which is it? I mean, we haven't repealed downturns, but do we see any reason for one to happen anytime soon?
So markets, as you mentioned, on almost a daily basis, grind higher, and they're doing so in a fashion without any kind of pullback. So the normal functioning markets is that you have market gyrations. And one of the interesting dynamics, as you pointed out, in 2017 is the complete absence of any kind of market volatility, and that we continue to grind higher in a very slow but deliberate fashion. And we are looking at, I'd characterize it as robust return environments. And so there's two questions. So why is that? And I think the answer is almost in a word, resynchronization. Global growth is expanding at quite a nice pace relative to the last couple of years. If anything, this is the best global backdrop that we've had since 2011. The U.S., on the other hand, is just muddling along. We continue to see GDP here in the first half at just shy of 2%. And our expectations are that it'll improve in the second half of the year to be a tad over 2%. But there are a number of factors that have contributed to this robust return profile, and it really is the global resynchronization story. Economies outside of the U.S. Are improving, and the U.S. is benefiting from it. And so I'll just remind your audience that 40% of the revenues of the S&P 500 are derived outside of the U.S., and so that strong global backdrop is really creating a nice tailwind for the U.S. S&P 500.
But that sets up my next question perfectly. 40% of the revenues of the S&P 500 come from outside of the U.S. And as you pointed out, international markets starting to pick up as the domestic market, well, it keeps running, but you sort of see less in the growth potential range there. Should people be putting boots on the ground with international stocks to make sure they get more exposure to it? Or are they just fine staying here, owning big domestics that have multinational because, well, hey, 40% of your revenues is coming from international anyway?
There are certainly two ways to benefit from an expanding global pie. And one of them is direct investments into international markets. And the second one is to actually look at the S&P 500, which in fact is not a domestic market. It's a global market, and you can benefit indirectly through the S&P 500. We would prefer at this point for investors who have become so preconditioned for the U.S. markets that have been the best economy since the Great Credit Recession, as well as the best return profile, I think there are opportunities to step outside of the U.S. in a more direct fashion and capture the improving economic fundamentals in both international markets, both developed as well as emerging markets.
So you think that there are ways to step out. What would you be suggesting people do, and how much of a tilt should they go? Because I think most people allocate their assets and go, you know, okay, I want 20 or 30% in international, let's say, but they don't recognize that while they've got their big holdings, they've got 40% of that in international. So, you know, if you had said, wait, I want to be 50% domestic, well, you've already got an international component. So how do you suggest somebody go off and get that international and emerging markets exposure right now?
So when we look at, if you look at the globe itself from a capitalization standpoint, it's roughly 50-50. The U.S. is a little bit over half of the world pie. We tend to, for our clients, tend to look at things globally, but through a U.S.-centric view. And so this way you mitigate some of the currency fluctuations, and the U.S. is the most dynamic economy, all things being equal. And so our view is here is that you want to tilt portfolios to international markets, and I would put a number around a quarter of your portfolio should be directly outside the U.S.
From the big picture perspective, we've been talking about stocks. But one of the things that I've been saying, it's a question that I think my audience may be getting tired of me asking, but I still think it's important to ask, is that the stock market is telling investors one thing and the bond market is telling investors something different. They can both be correct for a measure of time, but they can't be both correct indefinitely. So which side do you believe more right now, the stock market or the bond market, and why?
So it's a very good point. Right now, I would argue that that both are right, and that the S&P 500 is reflecting modest growth, and that the U.S. bond market is telling you that inflation is quite muted here. It's telling you that monetary policy will be slow and gradual and somewhat protracted over the last couple of years, and that the Federal Reserve, although it's referred to as tightening, really as removing extreme accommodation, but that in the end, we're still going to see interest rates extraordinarily low, both here in the U.S. and globally, and that is very accommodative for financial assets. And that's why you have two winners, both the bond market and the stock market. I think ultimately, though, the economy continues to move over, continues to grow, and you start to see inflation move up modestly. I think the Federal Reserve does continue to ratchet rates up into 2018, and I think interest rates start to gravitate a little bit higher. The word here would be modest, though, and over time, and that is what we would refer to as ideal backdrop for financial assets.
Well, you keep leading me. I couldn't ask for, like, seriously, Ron, you should be, you're like the ideal guest, because you keep directing me directly to the next thing, which is your whole demeanor about this and every way you've been talking about it has been calm and easy, and we're talking about ideals. I'm not sure we're living in ideal times. Now, as a general rule, we don't worry that much about politics. It plays out, but it doesn't necessarily drive directly into the heart of the market. Right now, it's looking like it could because, well, if the current administration can't get things passed, at some point, investors in the defense industry will say, hey, maybe that money's not coming. And people will say maybe healthcare is undervalued and not overvalued or whatever it might be. How big a wild card in all of this is the administration? And must we or can we avoid a reckoning if they can't start to make campaign promises come true?
So I think the answer is that the economy, in the absence of expansionary fiscal policy, can continue to muddle through, and that would be supportive of financial assets. I don't believe that's a catalyst for a strong return profile. And so I think you could see markets take a breather here. I think they could be in a trading range throughout the balance of the year. But for returns to be meaningfully higher from here, I think we need greater clarity around fiscal policy, and markets have been patient so far in the first half of 2017. I think markets have done an exceptionally good job of not being distracted by the administration, the noise coming out, and the lack of progress. Markets have focused on the fundamentals, both the global fundamentals and the corporate fundamentals that are very strong. And so when I look at the prospects around fiscal policy, it's clearly a 2018 dynamic. From an economic standpoint and from an earnings standpoint, it is not necessarily priced into 2017. But if I don't get fiscal stimulus by the end of the year, I think I have a range-bound market and I have a return profile that is positive but modest and certainly not near the return profile that I've experienced in the first half of 2017.
We're almost out of time here. How does that set up for 2018 in terms of, again, slow growth carries in and goes on indefinitely because you don't see the catalyst, or now at some point this comes to an end, or we get through it and we rebound?
So I think worst case scenario, I don't get fiscal policy. And so the economy continues to move through. I think global expansion continues. And I have a market where earnings are improving at a reasonable rate and that I can back into my valuations. And so I could see where markets are more subdued, but I have some patience here and earnings continue to improve and valuations. Maybe I don't get a very strong price appreciation in the stock market, but I get lower valuations as my earnings improve over the next year or two. The flip side of that is I actually get fiscal stimulus, and it is right down to the bottom line. If it's in the form of tax cuts and an improvement in sentiment, then I have a better return profile in 18.
Ron, great stuff. Thanks so much. We'll check in with you again a couple months from now, see how we are setting up for 2018.
Thanks so much, Chuck.
Ron Sanchez is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. You can learn more about the firm, Ron, and what they're thinking at fiduciarytrust.com. We just hit the halfway, Paul, in the No Pants Friday edition of Money Life.
Come on, we got to run now.
And we'll be right back with more right after this message.